You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Welcome to an episode of the Formed and Sent podcast, a podcast by and for The Village Church that gathers in downtown Hamilton, Ohio. My name is Scott O'Donohue. I'm one of the pastors of The Village. And with me at the table today is...
Matt Tucker, one of the pastors of The Village.
Kelly O'Donohue, deacon at The Village.
I didn't get to say that for the first time.
Hey.
Michael here, one of the pastors as well.
Michael Gray, I'm not Michael here, Graham. But obviously yes. he is here. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, Mr. Here.
here.
So, we are today taking up a conversation around abortion. And we know that this is a very heated and volatile issue for lots of incredibly valid reasons. The impetus for talking about this right now is Supreme Court leak of potential decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. And it's not even necessarily that particular leak or decision that might spur us to talk about this. It is the furor of response by all kinds of folks around that potential decision that is like, gosh, we need to probably model maybe some conversation and helpful dialogue around this stuff and maybe bring some clarity even around just how we engage this as a church. And so I wanted to give like a few disclaimers on the front end of this conversation, because we're not trying to have like a final word. Like, this podcast is not like, well, this is what you need to think and this is what you need to believe and that's it. This is just some initial thoughts and approach, pastoral approach to this conversation. So firstly, like, we know that there are people listening across the spectrum, even part of our church, not part of our church, that have a very varied perspective, history, convictions about some of these things. We know that there are folks who have had an abortion who are maybe listening to this, who are part of our church, folks who have been affected by abortion in some way, been part of that decision, or maybe there are folks who like never could imagine ever being in a place of, you know, needing to do that or wanting to do that. There are folks that see this issue as a litmus test for the validity of your Christianity or your faith, and there are those who don't. There are pro-life folks who think that the best strategy is to just like outlaw abortion outright. And there are some folks who are like pro-life that think, hey, it's important, but like that maybe isn't the best strategy going forward to like help this particular issue. There are pro-choice folks who think that abortion is morally and ethically wrong, and yet like they still land on that for legal reasons. And there are folks who love Jesus listening to this, and probably folks who don't. And so like a wide spectrum of people that are listening. We are acknowledging that on the front end. We also want to acknowledge who we are. We're not speaking for everybody. So just because we're up here talking, you know, at this table, doesn't mean that what we're saying is what we think you should be saying either. You know, Kelly is at the table, and we invited her not just because she's a woman. She's a deacon over women's discipleship stuff here, and her voice matters, but she's not speaking on behalf of all women of the village, or all women period, or all Christian women, or anything like that. We know there are folks that would say, like, the three of us, Matt, Michael, myself, like, because we're dudes, we shouldn't be talking about this at all. And I get that perspective. I also think like that the goal in doing this and engaging this is not to silence voices, but to like just be really like better listeners and all this stuff. And so that's why, you know, if you're tracking along in real time with when this podcast is being released, we didn't give a hot take 2 weeks ago when that leak came out, but we wanted to sit and listen and see where people were, have conversations about things, all that stuff. And so we've listened, and we want to offer, again, just an approach from our perspective around this particular issue. And then lastly, like, that is what we're hoping to offer. We're not offering a final word. We're not saying this is where you need to land, this is what you need to do, but we do want to offer some clarity. There are some things that we will declare in this podcast. There are things that, you know, we will say are muddy and difficult to think through, but we really just kind of want to set a pace for what conversations around this particular issue can look like, especially within the church. How does a community that's formed and sent by the gospel talk about this and engage this particular conversation? And we want this to hopefully invite more conversation. Like, again, this is not the final word or the only word, or it's not that us four are the only people that want to talk about it with one another, but we do want to talk about it with folks in the church as well. So just know that even if you stop listening right now, we would love to talk with you about that. We'll probably say some things and talk about some, because of the nature of the conversation, that honestly, if you have like trauma around some of this stuff, or if this is just a difficult thing to listen to, then maybe this is not the thing to listen to. And yet, like, we would still want to have a conversation, like, pastorally with you as friends, as whatever. So just know that on the front end, if this is a difficult thing for you to listen to, take a breather, chat with us independently if that would be helpful. Any other things that you guys would want to share or say on the front end before we kind of dive in?
Maybe we view the village as a family, and just as in a regular family, stuff impacts it. Like, our desire today is to say, gosh, like, there's this is a thing, and we want to care for the family well. And so, like, that's our love. It's not a club to beat anyone over the head with. It's saying, gosh, we want to provide help here, stability, clarity, like you said, Scott. And that's our heart this morning, is out of love and gentleness to care for the family.
Just want to add really quick. It just feels difficult to have what feels like a one-sided conversation, because that is the nature of a podcast. And I just want to put out the invitation from me, Kelly, specifically, if there were women or men who have feelings, thoughts, have a story to share specifically around abortion, and you want someone to listen, I'm happy to do that. So please reach out to me. I would love to just sit and listen to you and hear your story and thoughts. You're not alone. You're not shunned. The church, Jesus loves you. The church loves you. And I would love to listen to you.
It's beautiful. So we do actually want to start this podcast with just laying some gospel groundwork and foundation, because this is such a volatile issue, because this is a litmus test across the board for lots of different things. We want to, on the front end, say, like, what is the gospel and who is it for?
The gospel is good news, and it is centered on what Christ has done for us. And that is not a small story. It starts way back when, and God created things, and they were good, and humanity broke things because of sin and rebellion against Him and against His will and against the goodness that He set us out with. And so in Christ came to restore us, and He did that in two ways. He judges through justice, and He restores by grace to make all things new. That's where it meets this conversation, because both of those things are at play. And God's love is not only for those who have the right upbringing, or have the right, you know, pedigree, or get all the things right, or anything like that. His love is for all who call Him Lord, and all who turn from their rebellion. And that's what the Bible says, that all of us are born into. And we trust in Him, and Him alone, to give us joy and to give us life, eternal life. And then the church gets to be a part of. The church is those who have been renewed and been saved by His gracious work. We get to be a part of making all things new, and we live in this difficulty, like the dichotomy of already and not yet. And what that means is that we have hopes, and we have promises that will come to be, where all things will be made new and justice will reign, but it's not visible yet. And so we get to be a part of that, you know, what we would say, like, redemptive work of making all things new. And we get to advance good, and we get to love on His behalf, and we get to do all of those things. And so that is an open invitation for any, no matter what their past, no matter what you know, you're dealing with, no matter who you are up to this point, God's love is extended for you, and what we get to do is respond to Jesus and trust His grace. And so, I'll stop there. Yeah.
I mean, gosh, you did a great job. I don't know, we want to talk about the who are our enemies section of that, but I mean, Mike, you said it really well, just in thoughts of who's our enemy, like, who are we against? Gosh, it'd be so easy to think, well, it's a right or left thing, or it's a man versus woman thing, or it'd be easy to view our neighbor with a different view, or whatever it is. But our enemy, we know from Scripture, is it's not flesh and blood, but it is literally Satan himself, who basically is doing everything possible to undermine the way God intended life to be. And so that is ultimately the enemy here. It's so easy to view a conversation and go bad. Gosh, they just don't. And then all of a sudden there's these walls and we feel like there's a block. But our hope is that there's a God who loves, Michael, like you said, individuals, men and women, who loves the body, all creation that he made, and even what grows inside of that. And that's our hope, that even though on a human level we don't have the power to change hearts and minds, there is a God with the gospel in view that can change and transform, and that's just a beautiful thing.
For me, I thought of this passage a bunch of times just in preparation for today's talk, and it's from Mark 10. And you know, there is the, yeah, Jesus like confronts us in our sin, he confronts suffering and brings good news to those things. And then like a picture of that that he offers, he's talking to, this is like after the rich, I think the rich young ruler, and Peter is like, you know, basically like, hey, look how much we've given up for you and all this stuff. And Jesus says this, he's like, truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now at this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, difficult stuff, and eternal life in the age to come. And so like just that picture of this taking a stand and saying, declaring anything around this conversation is costly. Like, and there are folks who are very clear about, you know, if you land here, feel free to cut me out and not talk to me again. And so that's a real thing around this particular conversation. And that is hard. It makes it difficult to declare where someone lands, to cut. We don't want to do that. And yet what Jesus says here is that anybody who, for the sake of the gospel, not for the sake of politics, not for the sake of making a point or winning an argument online or anything like that, but anyone who is like just striving to be faithful to the God who was like perfectly faithful to us, it might come at a cost. There's going to come with persecutions. You're going to maybe lose some folks along the way, but also like part of the beauty of the church. And I think part of the good news of the gospel is that he is making a people that we get to enjoy. And hopefully we gain a spiritual family from that too. And a people who love and relate on a level of grace without fear or guilt or shame about past stuff or present stuff or any of those things at all. And so I think that's part of it. And I think that gets to shape even what it looks like for us to have this conversation and what we're inviting people into down the road. Cool. That is significant for us, just to say on the front end because of all that. And that being said, what makes this particular conversation so hard? We've hit on a couple of those things, but for real, like, why is this such a difficult conversation to have? What are the stakes at play? Just why is it so rough?
I think it's difficult because both sides forget that it's a conversation about people. We make it about issue or policy or law or politics or all these other things, and at the base, it's a conversation about people, real people, and those people have emotions and feelings. And so I think it's incredibly, I mean, pregnancy, sex, abortion, all these things are intimate and vulnerable for women specifically, I would imagine for men. And then you get a lot of people with a lot of strong opinions throwing things around. And at the end of the day, there are people there. And so I think it's, at least for me, difficult because when we start talking about this, and I would imagine you guys are the same, I'm thinking of specific people. I'm thinking of faces and names and stories. And so it feels hard. You know, there's emotion behind it. And I think it feels incredibly, and as a woman who is not speaking for all women, it feels personal to talk about women's bodies. It feels, as a mother of 5 children and one whom I miscarried, it feels very personal to talk about babies, you know, and I remember the ultrasounds and, you know, all of the things. And so I think it's just, there's a lot of heightened emotion on all sides, and that naturally makes it a volatile conversation.
Yeah. I think to add to that, Kelly, it makes it hard because on one side, it seems almost like simplistic and cut and dry. Well, it's either life or it's not, or it's either legal or it's not. But then also, it is one of the most complex decisions in terms of the ramifications of all of that. And so then it all of a sudden, like, you get into the weeds really quickly with real people, with real situations and scenarios. And I think, like, it would be nice, too, if it was contained to one part of our lives. Yeah. But like you said, it involves our families. It involves finances. It involves politics. It involves relationships. Mm-hmm. And so it just seems to bleed into all spectrums of life. And so it's not easily contained. It seems cut and dry here, but it's also just so different. And so the stakes are really high. And I literally put this with no pun intended. The stakes are literally life and death, in a sense, where like you believe this is a life or you believe that it's not.
Yep.
And that is the highest level of God's creation. And so it is ultimate.
Yeah, I mean, I had just some paradigms, like life and lives are involved, and dreams, mm-hmm. and babies are involved, and family, and what some would say freedom is involved. And there's, add to that, like the inflamed and like explosive cultural paradigms. Mm-hmm. It's not just some like flat theory, like we can have theories on lots of things that doesn't have an impact, but it's literally heartbeats and its lifelong implications and its ethical foundations of life. And then when you add to that, like the explosive, I mean, I guess this is not new when you look back to the 70s or in the 80s and maybe certainly before that, but like just because, I know I say this all the time, but because everyone has a microphone and everyone has ears to hear, it's just so, you just feel like you have to be, like adhere to one pole or the other. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficulty because like whether you like it or not, and whatever side of this you're on, there is marketing at play. Mm-hmm. And it can't be black and white. And there are some things that can be, sure, but it just can't, you have to know that when you hear this conversation on like the national platform level, there's literally marketing at play. And it's not just for a baby or not for, I mean, it's just so complex. And then it's just, I mean, even the options are pro-life or pro-choice. But that is like, well, what does that mean? Because like, just to be like on the front end of this, like I am for women's lives. And so like, if I'm pro-choice, then that means that you're not. It's like, no, that is not. And so like, even just, you have two options. Which one? It's like, well, no, like this is certainly like a conversation that gets wider than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's really tough.
That's, I literally have like, it's a phrase I use all the time from The West Wing. Like, reject the premise of the question.
Yeah.
And set before the church, before Christians today, is a premise that was crafted by marketing and, you know, political movements and all these things that say, you know, pick pro-life or pro-choice. Those are your options. And I think what we get to say is, like, we reject the premise of the question. Yeah. Like, those options are not the only ones that are before us today. And so we can feel like people without a side and, like, we're just the bad guys to everybody. But that doesn't make it hard. I think, you know, to what you guys have all said, it's just more complicated. Even having clear convictions around things then make real life messy, difficult situations even harder because we value both the life of a woman and the life of an unborn child. That then makes particular situations very difficult. And it would be a much more convenient to say, well, I'll just do this, you know, and do that from a place of like ease of decision making, but then like lack of principle. And there's also just like it's really easy to boil down, you know, because of marketing, because of the silos we live in, just the reasons behind why someone might even consider abortion in the first place. And so statistically, like 12% of abortions, the reasons given for why they're sought out is because of medical concerns. And so it doesn't mean that it's life-threatening at all. It could just be, gosh, I was taking contraceptives while I was pregnant. Not sure how that affects the, maybe it could be, you know, like some mental health stuff. It could be lots of reasons, but 12%. 40% of people who like seek, you know, counseling for abortion or whatever is because of financial reasons. They don't feel like they can provide for the child, or 36% say it's just not the right time for them, or 31% is, it's like partner related issues. They don't have someone else that can support them. They can't trust their partner. Maybe they're abusive or something along those lines. 20% need to focus on other kids. 12% of people just want the kid to have a better life and don't think they can provide that kind of life for them. And so there's a variety of reasons for that. And you can say, like, you can dismiss those or whatever. But then when you look at the fact that, honestly, like, women are vulnerable. Moms in particular are vulnerable. Maternity leave in the United States, I did some digging on some stats or whatever. Literally, the United States has the fewest protections and benefits of any country for maternity leave. Like, you can take some time off, maybe, in some circumstances legally, but you're not to be paid for it, and then you got to go right back to work, you know? Childcare in the U.S., it's like 25% of a couple's income, or 50% for single parents of your income could go to childcare. That's on average. It's like, it's 15% in like other wealthy countries. You take 30 of the other wealthiest countries in America, and it's It's much less than that. And even in like low-income countries, 17% is like the average around that or whatever. And so that's a deal. And then you think about having to go back to work, you know, right away in order to make money. But then you have to pay for all the childcare and stuff on top of that. But then like all of that, having a kid impacts your ability to get a job, to go to work, to, you know, like there's just all sorts of implications there that make the, like even the potential of what that could do, you know, I'm speaking as a guy, but like for a woman to think like, man, if I get pregnant, like this can have all sorts of ramifications for me. And then we hop into like sexual abuse and rape and all sorts of things that like the prevalence of 1 in 5 women, like either being the victim of attempted rape or completed rape in some way, shape or form. And while like, it's can be just a cut and dry, we'll deal with it when it happens kind of a thing. Like, to have to live under the potential ramifications of what happens if that's me. And so there's just, it is such a layered thing. And the scriptures literally speak to, in both the Old and New Testaments, you know, like categories of people, the sojourner, the widow, the orphan, people that are like automatically just more vulnerable in society, and like calls them out on a regular basis as, hey, we need to pay attention to this group of people because they could live in fear and they can, you know, do things, live in a particular way, be victim to things that other people just aren't at the same rate or whatever. And we should, I think, do the same thing. If we, like we've said, you know, care about the life of women and moms and family is like a really big deal for the church, then I think we get to be loudest, you know, also about some of those issues and, you know, kind of put our money where our mouth is or our vote where, you know, like to like make sure that those things are taken care of too. But again, that muddies the, well, but are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? Pick one, yeah. You know? And it's like, well, it is more complicated than that.
It is more complicated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As a pro-life feminist, both things which I am happy to claim, I am not welcome at any of the rallies. So.
That's right. That's right. Any other things that you want to speak to that kind of make this more difficult?
No.
I think it's just about more than, like, it's, and I don't know how to say this clearly, but yeah. I think it can be hard to understand sometimes when people have big reactions to a particular incident. It's probably not a reaction to only that incident. And so I do think we have to consider that women specifically are going to have reactions to this conversation, this point in history, and specifically this potential overturning of Roe v. Wade. There's more to it than that. There's decades and even centuries of treatment, abuse, talk, lack of rights for women that may or may not be affecting how we respond to it. And I just think that's right or wrong. You don't have to, you know, we don't make a judgment on that, but I think it's something to consider that people may or may not be reacting to more than any one person understands in the moment. And again, that's where listening comes in. We get to be curious Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, even to know people's stories and their feelings and why they come to that conclusion.
I think that's so significant. Even like I have been surprised at the response of some people that I know are on one side or the other. And I'm like, and sometimes that's a pleasant surprise. And sometimes that's like, oh, like it is like a, not that it's an unpleasant surprise, but it's just I didn't have a category for that or whatever. And I think there's just so much to me living out what we talked about in the politics class back in 2020, framing kind of like the way that one of the ways we can understand politics is like as a church, like we should expect to see varied expressions of a moral consensus, right? And so I think we would say, and we can get into that or whatever, like by and large, the church has had a, from the get-go, like a care for the unborn and seeing the unborn and women as equal and the same. And yet when we talk about what it looks like to like care and try to like increase the number of unborn children that get to be born and get to be placed in all those things, like the way that we try to figure out what's the best way forward and trying to care for women and trying to care for kids can look very different. Like some people want to like go at like, let's just ban abortion. And that's the first thing. Other people are like, well, let's actually figure out how we can give some benefits to moms and maternity leave and, you know, all that kind of stuff. There are different strategies to try to get at and express and bring into reality a bit of our convictions as believers. And it's really easy to say, well, you're voting for that person and I'm voting for that. Well, that must mean, you know, and like just to make lots of assumptions as to why you're reacting the way that you are or why you are voting the way that you are or why you're supporting what you're supporting. When in reality, we should be asking more questions about, hey, can you explain to me like why? you're arriving there. And I'm curious about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To that point, yeah.
Yeah.
I think human nature is to give ourselves all the benefit of doubt.
That's so true.
And then to assign almost the worst case scenario intentions to almost anybody else.
Absolutely.
And that is definitely the wrong place to start as Christians and just as people. We get to certainly know our history impacts how we view things. And at the same time, gosh, everyone, like has been stated here, is impacted by things. And certainly we get to try to come to a right conclusion. But gosh, to just assign, oh, they just did that because of this, is very just surfacey and flaky and not the right way to go about it.
And prideful, yeah. To your,
yeah,
point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's scary, especially in the church. Like, who, when I think what the church can be known for is being very loud and against abortion and the horrors of abortion and all this stuff, then like if you are somebody who wants to talk about that, who has either has considered that in the past or has had an abortion, like the church can be the last place that some people want to come because they're afraid they're going to not meet like the grace of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And what it looks like for healing and all that stuff, they're afraid they're going to meet condemnation when they come in the church. And so, yeah, that's how we approach this conversation matters, you know, what we're loudest about.
I mean, to that end, not even if you're to the point of abortion or not or whatever, but just pregnancy in general outside, yeah, of marriage, like that's the historic, like cultural view, like the stereotypical Christian in sitcoms is like, mm-hmm, stuffy and like unwilling to have an actual conversation about anything. And it's just like, nope, you're like, I'm dismissing you as a human because, mm-hmm, you broke the code. And it's like
shaming them.
Yeah. Which that's not, yeah, to be clear, that's not where we're at on any of the social issues that are difficult. Whether it's pregnancy and certainly that's an issue and, whatever, but certainly, abortion as well. I mean, I think another thing, we could probably sit here all day and maybe it spills into what's clear and, yeah, at some point, but wherever you land, you're probably like building pillars on a certain foundation. And I know we keep throwing out like, oh, maybe it's politics or maybe it's whatever. Like, but the reality is, and this is what makes it really difficult, is some will be drawn to like science and rationale and reasoning and, you know, is the baby capable? Does it have sense receptors? And at what point, you know, like all those things. Yeah. And it's like, okay, like we get to have that conversation. That plays a part in it, a huge part.
Yeah, that matters.
Especially outside of the church in the way that we engage that way. But then, like, there are some people who deal with situations like this based on just what they feel. And that's really tough as well. And certainly there's, I mean, like, I taught science, high school science, for several years, but there is, it's not all objective in the science world. There is subjective realities and there's bias. And that's certainly true if we're building our worldviews out of our feelings or emotive responses or whatever. And so, and maybe it is politics. And I know people well that either just say like, I'm camped here, I'm camped there. And like, that's the grounds on which they meet this conversation. That's the primary lens that they put on. Is it red or blue, left or right? It's like, man, that is... And so one just like heart sifter or mind sifter for the listener is like, on what foundation are you engaging this conversation?
Yeah.
Can it change? I mean, is it based on the weather or is it based on, you know, scientific reasoning or is it based on like the word of God or like what is it in that... If anything, gives us a heart to at least be a little more humble in the way that we like. I mean, that was your point in the politics stuff, Scott, was like, we all have a scorecard, like, and some of us say, well, there's one thing that's like, it doesn't matter. If you like check that box, then it's like, it's game over. Or maybe it's 3 out of 5, or like, what are the things? And certainly that type of thinking weighs into this conversation as well, I think.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't think any of us are saying, like, this shouldn't be a big deal, and that this can't be, like no. maybe, like, a bit, but that you have to be aware of that.
That's my point.
And, yeah, exactly. And
know why, know on what grounds you are, mm-hmm, feeling so strongly about your,
yeah,
convictions.
And don't interact with humans like you're interacting with a ballot, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, so.
Yeah, and I will, just, like, if you're going to throw something out, like... I won't say it. Go ahead.
Look at that discretion being used in the podcast. I appreciate that. Thanks so much for listening to part one of this conversation. Because of the weight of this topic and because of the length of our discussion, we decided to break this up into two distinct episodes. So we invite you, when you are ready, to listen to the second half of our conversation, where we settle into some things that we can declare a little more clearly. We also discuss some things that are left a little muddy and unclear, maybe confusing or missing at the end of the day. And then we also talk about some things that the church can do and ways the church can be and ways that we have historically, as the Village Church, engaged this issue in years past. That episode should be available right now for you to listen to at your convenience. Thanks again for listening.